in Jesus' precious name. And amen. Please take your seat. Good morning, church. The Lord bless you. Last week, we started the journey, but I was told that the questions were not answered completely because of time. So I asked the people in charge to send the questions to me, but I'll answer all the remaining, about seven of them are still remaining here. Seven questions. So answer them, then we'll go into our teaching. Our exhortation this morning. And then this morning we'll have a firstborn redemption, two dedication, and I think one thanksgiving. Am I correct? Yes, that are booked. So we'll be taking time to do all those ones. Before that time, let's answer our questions. The question I have here, number one, is, does Malachi 3:10 say that a Christian will be cursed if they don't tithe? And if so, how does that fit with Galatians 3 verse 13? In my own little wisdom, I added verse 14 to that person. Because if you start verse 13, you have not figured what that scripture is trying to tell us. You add verse 14. The purpose of verse 13 is verse 14. Am I not correct? So if you know the purpose too. I take the question again. Does Malachi 3:10 that say bring in the tithe to all the house, and if you don't do it and there's a curse, the curse is on verse 8. Verse 10 didn't talk about curse. Look at bringing everything to the house. Let there be meat in my house. And I will do this and do that and do that. That's verse 10. We're talking about curse, to go back to verse 8, which is not in verse 10 anyway. You say, how does that fit with Galatians 3:13? Galatians 3:13 says, Jesus has delivered us from the curse of the law by being hung on a tree. Because curse is any man that is what? That is hung on a tree. Then verse 14 says, that we may receive the blessing of what? Of Abraham. So you can't read verse 13 and don't read the purpose of verse 13. Why did Jesus deliver us? Now, the first place is that tithe is not a law. So Jesus did not deliver you from the curse of tithing. It's not a law. Tithe has been existing before the law arrived. I've had all kinds of messages on social media. You need to be very careful. What I ask is this. As me, all our following God, you are keeping yourself holy, you are doing your best for God, there are things that your mates are doing, you are not doing it now. And then at the end of your life, you find that there's no heaven. Will you regret it? Huh? Church, please answer me. Will you regret living holy on earth and keeping yourself? Will you regret it? The answer is no. It saved me from a lot of mess on earth. I've had argument that tithe is in the Old Testament, is there in the New Testament? I ask, what does 10% take out of your life? If not because you have the question of greed. As me, I have been tithing since 1988. I got born again in 1986. June 10. In 1988, I discovered tithing. And I started doing it. Today, I've not failed once. Now, assuming at the end of my life, I heard that tithing was not necessary. I asked myself one day, God, will you punish me for doing it? Is there a penalty for me? For see something in your word, either it's old or new, it's irrelevant, and I did it. Will you punish me? The answer is no. Look, every giving you do is to reduce the influence and the power of mammon on your life. Because what control men today is money. 98% of what control your life is not the Holy Spirit, it's money. Forget, let's not tell a lie here. Wake up in the morning, very early. You won't pray, you will not read your Bible, you run to your office. You go answer yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. Or to your business point. And come back late. By the time you come back late, you are useless to yourself. You are completely useless. You are tired because you are a human being. Someday, you have not said, God, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. You have not opened your Bible to read one line in the Bible for a whole day, 24 hours. Who did you serve that day? But if they ask you, who is number one in your life? Who will you say is number one in your life? Let me tell you, church. It's not because people are hiding under, looking something to cover their greed, their self, because every man is selfish, including me talking to you. I like myself. But you see, if you conquer money, you have conquered everything in this life. But if you can't conquer money, I'm sorry. If money is still your master, and money don't come to those people he master, he go to people that master it. Hear me and hear me well. Money don't dance around men and women that he has mastered. You know that what they serve him? They go after him, run after him. But he flow freely around men and women who have conquered money. And you conquered money by being liberal. So number one to this question is that tithe is not a law. You are not keeping the law when you pay tithe. It's not part of the law. It has existed before the law. Abraham was the first man to do that in the Bible. I think Genesis 14 verse 20, yes. Thank you. And blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thy enemy into thy hand, and he gave tithe of all that he has. Now, who inspired Abraham? We have never read in the Bible that God said bring 10%. Who spoke to him? How did he get his revelation? He had no pastor. He had no prophet. There was no law written anywhere. There was no scroll that they read. We can deduce from how he got the revelation that God told him, because the man that came to collect the tithe from him was not a human being. He was a person representing Jesus in the Old Testament. The Bible says that man has no what? No father, no what? No mother, no what? No relation. Nobody can trace him. No lineage. He's the one that came and collected it from Abraham. So, and in Hebrew, Paul described Melchizedek as a somebody who is in form of Jesus in the Old Testament. So God himself was the one that came to collect it from what has never been preached. No written law about it. It should tell you that God has interest in it. And let me tell you, church is not preaching tithe because they want to be rich. How much is the tithe you are getting? What will it do in this place? Those who give the Fafa tithe in this church don't complain. They don't ask questions. They give with thanksgiving. They don't wait to be begged. Hey, so look, Galatians, God did not deliver you from that law because it's never a law. You can only be delivered from what is in place. Jesus delivered the death, and Jesus coming out of the grave, which is called resurrection, is essentially deliver us from sin and the power of darkness. So that we can live freely on earth without being oppressed, without being caged, without being pursued, either in our dream or in the physical, without carrying body on our lives, and live like a free man, a free woman. That's essentially why Jesus came to this earth. His death is not to free you from that law, because it's never a law. Glory be to God. That's question number one. There are about seven of them here. If we read Genesis, okay? We are also reading Genesis 28, verse 22. Well, then, where Jacob said, if I go to where I'm going to and I turn back, I will give you 10% of every blessing you gave me. So tithe is a covenant arrangement, not a law. It's a covenant arrangement for God to identify with what we are doing and help you to succeed in it. He said, give me 10%. You hold 90%. It's an arrangement, and a covenant is not a law. A covenant is an arrangement. You can decide to enter or not enter. Moses said, I pled before you death and what? And he said, make your choice. Tithe is never a force. It's supposed to be a covenant arrangement that is based on love. Love for God. Love for his kingdom. Love for his people. And wherever your money is thrown, it's not in. Your heart is not there. So if he pay you that 10% is too, it's an Old Testament, don't do it. Please don't do it. You are not helping the church. You are not helping God. You are helping yourself. I do it. This church does tithing every month from all our income we receive. We pay tithe. And I don't have regret. It's 18 years of this ministry. I don't have tithe. I don't have any regrets. I sleep peacefully. You sleep peacefully. Because your running around is my running around. If anything happens to you, they will call me. Even if we misbehave and it's in a very wrong way, it gives me pain and sleepless night. You do what is wrong. How much more something happen to your life? So I want, and essentially, the benefit of tithing is security. And tithing also does not show how generous you are towards God. It's never. If you are a tither, you are not yet generous. I just pay your due. What God says is his own, which to you is a debt. It's the offering you gave this money now that shows how generous you are to God, and that's where we neglect. Even those who are addicted tithers, they give very poor offering. They don't understand the mystery behind offering. Your offering draw more blessing to you. Your tithe protect the blessing from being robbed, from being taken away. I have a man here before who told me for the past 6 years, he had been treating my naira every 3 months. All his family. He just came and met me and said, Pastor, you know what is wrong with me? Every 3 months, all of them will go for through my naira drug and go to hospital and this one. And he spent a lot on it. He said, always typhoid and malaria. Typhoid and malaria. I said, why? The same mosquito that bites you, he bites me also. I know they get malaria. What do they worry me? Sometimes I feel that my body, you know, feverish. I feel that, my body is weak. I just carry small water. And say, Lord, this is not the blood of Jesus. Say, so you bless my water and my bread. And it's because I'm your servant. And I drink it. And I become whole. I don't go to the hospital for drug. Or chemist for anything. Essentially, the devourer will take what you don't pay from you. Either you know it or not. Sudden accident in the house, certain damages to your equipment, certain loss, and this. Let me tell you, what is a curse? Essentially, fundamentally, a curse is to cause a loss. See, number one. So say one, to cause a loss. Two, to cause a failure. What do I call it? Three, to cause a debt. This is what caused me. This is what the reason why they say, somebody caused me. These three things is what is present. Now, don't you look at your life and say, why am I not doing well? The Bible says, if God be for us, what the Bible say? Church, read the Bible, finish for me. If God be for you, what happened? Nobody can be against you. So if life is not moving forward, you are not praying through, you should sit down and ask yourself questions. But if you ask me to prescribe for you, I will tell you to tithe. Simple. And we don't want to do it, please. It's at your own, it's a choice, it's not a force. Don't pay tithe by fear, pay it by love. What did I say? If all you're giving to either to humanity or to anybody, to your parent, anybody, it must be by what? By love, not by fear. Anything you do by fear has no reward. Glory be to God. The covenant, like I said here, it must be done in love and not in fear. Number two questions. If all believers are saved by grace through faith and enjoy spiritual blessings, why are conditions mentioned in our teaching today? You know, the moment told us about some Our responsibility is not even a condition. Our revenue to our pastors. Because our pastors also have revenue towards us. Let me tell you. When we talk about grace, I've had all kinds of teaching on social media. Some of you are posting it on your status. Grace, 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 grace. And I laugh. You know me, know of grace? Grace means responsibility. Every man who carries grace of God on his life is a responsible person. Responding to himself, to humanity, and to who? And to God Almighty. Grace does not give you excuse to be loose and be free and be lazy or idle. No. Grace places on you first responsibility to be responsible as a child of God. The proof of that you are under grace and you are operating grace is to be responsible and cover every area of life. You are under grace, you are only a church worker. You are not doing anything for God here. If they ask you, where are you? You say, I'm in a proper life. Where is the grace of God in your life? You are under grace, but you come to church late. I want to give you an example. I don't know whether the brother that is a man or a woman. But assuming it's a man, that man may have a wife in the house. Okay? All of us who are married here, we give our wives guidelines. Some of you who are born again here, who marry also a born again, who's under grace like you? You give out three conditions. Don't do this. Don't do this. You tell me whether it's a worker in church or it's not a worker in church. You tell me whether she go out from your house or if she go out, she must not leave the house. You tell me whether she work or she does not work. Whatever I bring, all of us will enjoy it. Don't work. But this lady is under grace like you. Why are you putting under rules? Grace does not exempt any man from rules and regulations. But it makes you responsible, the doers of those rules. We are under grace, yes, we are under grace. And those things are our responsibilities. They are not conditions. They are responsibilities. Didn't the Bible know that we are under the way that if a man cannot provide for his house, it's a what? It's worse than an infidel. If whoever cannot provide for his house. But you know you are under grace. You will say, your under grace has covered you. Just eat outside and come back and tell your children and your wife and everybody and said, it's well, let's go and sleep. Please don't misuse grace. Remember, side this grace so much that people are becoming useless, even to God Almighty. This is my principle in life. And please borrow from me if you like it. There is nowhere I enter that I don't want to make a mark. Not a show, but do something, contribute my own quota that it will be noticeable I'm here, that this man ever passed through this place. And that's why those who are close to me know how we fight. If you don't want fight, don't be close to me. So, Pastor, I don't want you. But those who are close to me, who come to me every time and we talk, they know how we fight. What do we fight? It's not fight over money, but fight of you doing well. I sit you down and tell you the truth. You must do well in this area. This area is good, but this area is not good. What are you doing about it? And I keep doing the follow-up. I keep asking you questions. If you don't like me, you run away. If you like me, you stay. That means you want to change. And as God placed in my hand, in whatever form to assist, I will assist. Where your seriousness is sin. To me, that is grace. But you're not playing, nobody feel you. You are not doing anything that is reasonable. There's no divine that can find you and say, this brother is there, this sister is there. Where is the grace of God in your life? Grace does not exempt you. It's not a condition they say, they told us. Grace does not exempt us from being responsible. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Number three, sharp, sharp. He said, as a believer, we are supposed to live in the new creation realities. Sorry, are we supposed to be living in the new creation realities or living with the hope of new realities? And the answer is that we are supposed to live here in the new creation realities. We are not hoping for healing when we get to heaven. Healing is part of new creation realities. Am I correct? God created your body, and your body, something must happen to it. Including death, you can reject death. We are not hoping for prosperity when we get to heaven. Poverty is here. You may not spend money in heaven. You may not even see money in heaven. But you need it here to do well, to live a good life. A life others people can envy and follow you to serve your God. So new creation reality is here. We are not hoping for it. If you hope for it, that is predated blessing. When we get to heaven, at the last assembly, am I correct? At the marriage supper, all sorrow will be gone. All fear will be gone. All pain will be gone. Why are you waiting to heaven before you, all your pain are gone? Why are you keeping the pain here? To go and express peace in heaven. So new Christian reality is here. We are not hoping for it. And that's why we must insist as a believer to be responsible. And insist that this grace of God bring this blessing to your life and you're enjoying it. You will not marry heaven, you will marry here. You have children here. You buy your car here. You build your house here. You will not build house in heaven. So I built house already for you. And these are the new creation realities. This is why Christ saved you. Matthew 8:17. Give us. He said, He took our infirmities. He took our infirmities, yes. He himself took our infirmities. Bore our sicknesses. Is here, not in heaven. Or you will not be sick in heaven. So if every day you are in sickness, you are in hospital, you are going around the chemist, you are doing this, you need to ask questions. We are not enjoying new creation realities. And it's here.
Glory be to God. I think this question is answered. Am I correct? Glory. Can we move? Can we move? Nobody will defend you in heaven. You need protection here on earth. Am I not correct? So it's here. Number four. When Malachi 3:10 was spoken, was Jesus' finished work on the cross already accomplished? Jesus' finished work, I've said it before. His finished work did not exempt any believer from tithing. But like I said, it's like what Moses said. I pray before you life and death. It's not by force. That is what? It's by choice. If you like, don't do it. You are not hurting anybody, you are hurting yourself. It's a covenant arrangement. You can't enjoy the covenant you did so into. Forget about it. Jesus finished work, like I said before, deliver from the power of sin and the power of death, and also the power of darkness. Witches has no power over you. They can make noise. It's a noiseless noise. It's a noiseless noise. And in case you are here, you are their agent, you are a witch. Or you are working for them. You know a witch, you are working for her or for him. Your coming here is useless. You can't do anything here. The founder of this place, his name is called Jesus. He has conquered you on the cross. Aren't afraid. I never pray in my life and say, God, that I'm going to sleep now. Let nobody oppress me. Where you go pass? The Bible says in the Colossians 3:3, say your life is hid in Christ. And Christ is where? In God. You can't be touched. You keep yourself. You can't be touched.
We are delivered if we walk in the light. Now, the New Testament believer style of giving is beyond tithe. Can you do it? You are complaining about tithing. But can you do New Testament giving?
I'm asking brethren. Those who are talking about tithing, it's not in the Old Testament, it's Old Testament something, is this one? New Testament giving is give all. It's not 10%. It's giving 100%. Everything you have, give. The early church, that was the way they operated. Acts chapter 4, give us. 34 to 37. It's giving more than what is more than tithe. I give what is more than 10%. What is 10%? What is 10%?
Acts 4:34, yes. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as a possession of lands or houses, sold them. And do what? And brought the price of the things that they were sold. Can you sell your house and bring the money here? I'm asking you, church. Can you sell your car and start trekking and bring the money here? Can you sell your position and bring the money here? The answer is no. You have not conquered money. But ordinary therapy is still complaining. Looking for who will deceive you on social media. I don't want to mention anybody's name. But somebody was preaching in a church, in a seminar, not a church, but he was doing a seminar. I was saying, church, tithe is gone. Tithe is gone. One man raised up his hand and came to catch him. And he asked, sir, you say tithe is gone. I have been in this church for 27 years. And I have been tithing. Before this time, he said, now you are belleful. He told his pastor. He said, now you go to abroad, go to Canada, US, as you like, and come and do service on Sunday. By Sunday evening, you are back to US. It's our money you are using. Because you know they carry oil. He said, please, can you refund us the money you have collected from us as tithes? Me, I want to collect my own for the past 27 years. And look at everybody in this church who have been here for long that has mistakenly paid tithe to you that you asked for. Those are deceiving me on social media. Can they refund people their money? Now that they say their eyes open, that is not true. Can they refund people that are taking their money from? Please, let's be very careful. New Testament giving is beyond 10%. You who are claiming grace, go and start practicing what? New Testament giving. Bring all. Bring all. Sell what you have and bring it here. You know, a man tried it in chapter 5 and said, excuse me, this is all. And it's not all. What did happen to him? It's a new testament. It's new testament now. Acts chapter 5 and verse 1. Ananias and Sapphira. If you read down, that's how it is. And they distribute to people as they need. Last year, December, one man here gave me 200,000. He called me and said, sir, I want to be part of this December welfare that we do for people. And he sent me 200,000 naira. The entire family sent us 200,000. The wife also gave us money. I remember. Is it money or what we use for fasting or something? Apart from him, I'm here to see anybody in the church who come and say, December, we know that church will have a heavy need. There's no Christmas we don't spend more than 1 million. On welfare for everybody here, including the chicken we distribute, our dinner, and the rice we give to everybody. There's no year we don't spend over 1 million naira. Now, we don't raise offering for that. We don't call anybody to come and give us. But this man called me. He said he wants to be part of it because he see what we're doing. And he gave us 200,000 naira. You that's under grace. That grace has covered you, everything is grace. How much have you sent here? To help the poor. If you are so rich, you are comfortable. How many poor here? Look, if somebody is in your office working for you, sir. Sir, this is not my friend I used to see before. This man in black. Are you the one? Oh, no, it's not my friend. Okay, there's my friend that had GM where too. You used to sit there in the front. You're not the one. God bless you, sir. If this woman is working for me, okay, singing for me, washing for me, and I'm paying her school fees, am I helping the poor? I'm asking you. But she can't pay her school fees, though. But she's serving me, and I'm paying her school fees. Am I helping the poor? I'm paying for her service.
Some of you, the person you think you are helping, you are doing something for you. You are paying for what they are doing for you. This church went to this LA. I'm saying you can go there and find out. This LA some years back. It because it was abused, that's why we didn't do it again. Because me, I don't like abuse. We went there, I was there myself. And I said, give me the list of every student who were not able to pay school fees, both primary and secondary. How much would they pay that time? Some of them, 300 naira, 200. The highest was 1,000. And they gave us all the list. I said, what the number? Count it. And this church provided the money and gave them. Please, drive no child again out of this school for this time. The following time. But when they started abusing it, one of us came back that said, they drove some student from his class after we are paid. Are you sure? He said, yes. Bring those students for me. And the girl, the boy said, oh God, they've been driving us every day. We are many. We don't see anything. I'm saying in the public, I'm not saying it inside my office. Anyone can come and tell me it's a lie. And so, also, we kept our mouth shut. And we kept our door closed. Those, assuming the money was used well and settled people's children, how many people will I know among them who will come and tell me what? Thank you. Nobody. I don't know anybody. My child is not there. My relationship children are not there. This is how to help the poor. We are helping somebody under your roof or somebody coming to serve you. Do one or two things for you. You are paying for the service they are doing for you, Oga. Stop saying you are helping the poor. That's why it's not bringing blessing to you.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Number 5.
Who exactly was God speaking to in Malachi 3:10? The church? Or Israel under Mosaic covenant? Please, what is the truth, man? I need help. Give me Acts 7. Now, somebody can say there was no church in the wilderness. Now, you must be very careful how you separate yourself from Israel. The way God saw the old Israel and the way God is seeing the new Israel now. Sir, we are spiritual Jews. Otherwise, you will never inherit the covenant of Abraham. The Bible says we are joined here with Christ. There is no difference between us and the Jews today. The law God has for them is the same law he has for us. The same place he placed them is where we occupy today. God is even more in Nigeria than is in Israel. 38. Thank you. Okay. 38. Thank you. Not 18. Say, this is he who... Jesus, that was in the church in the wilderness with the angels. We spoke to him, spoke to who? To Moses in the Mount Sinai. And with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. So the speech in Malachi 3:10 is for everybody. But like I said, it's a choice. You can say it's not for you. Nobody will bother you. But you, I've said the truth. What I know is the truth, I'm telling you. And the Bible is divided into old and new. I can't tell you, the Bible is one. What did I say? The Bible is one. We are under the shadow of what I've been prophesying in the Old Testament. Now, we are seeing the light of it now. So you can't choose what to obey and what not to obey. Today, we are doing firstborn redemption for a family who make a request for it. I did for all my own, not the only firstborn self. All the three God gave me, I did redemption for them. Doesn't take anything from me. The tokens is too nothing compared to the value of life. I don't argue that it's not an entitlement. I'm not preaching anywhere. I'm not preaching to anybody. But if you see it, I want to do it. I will help you do it. Because I did it also. for my children. And I have no regret over them. All of them, the three of them, were last born. Again, I do for them. It cost me nothing. Because I'm a priest. Somebody even say there's no more levite on the earth. Social media, be careful. Say, oh, no, there's no more levite in the church. Levite has finished. Levite is not a person. Levite is an office. In the Bible. Levite is what? It's an office somebody occupy. If somebody not do what those people are doing today, they are doing it. So I see myself as a Levite, and my children by law are supposed to also be pastors like me. But they may decide not to be a pastor. And I support them anything they want to do. They want to be a businessman, go and be a businessman. Want to be a businesswoman, you are free to go and be a businesswoman. So I say, but come, let the law is that I shall redeem you. Let me redeem you. From now, go and become anything you want to become. There are things we should do, not because it's compulsory or it's a law, you must do it. There are many struggles over some people here. That if you have done the right thing, the struggle will have been gone for far, long ago. Especially firstborn. A lot of burden on them. A lot of struggle on them. Glory be to God. The grace we are talking about compels us to obey God, both in the New Testament and the Old Testament. James 2 and verse 10, give us. He said, if you obey the whole law, but you are found wanting in one part, he said, you are guilty of all. James 2 and verse 10. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in what? How many? One point. He's what? He's guilty of all. The one you have obeyed is useless. The grace you are shouting about. We are under grace. We are under grace. We are under grace. Grace make men responsible. Grace give you power to do what is right. Grace give you power to serve God well. Not to be a hypocrite. You tie your wife down in the house, but she's under grace. Let her do whatever she like. That's the grace we are talking about. Am I not correct? If you are the way you are preaching your own grace, that no woman should be under any man and still be controlled by the man. Because it's under grace. She do whatever she like. Go out by 9 o'clock and come back by 1 a.m. She's under grace. Grace cover her. But if we live like that, with the whole world not to be in crisis, so there's room, you put room to guide them in the house, to guide yourself also, to guide your children. But these children are children of grace. But you guide them. The Bible says, train them the way they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. Question 6. When Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law, but fulfill it. That's Matthew 5 and verse 17. This one was not in the question. Let me put down. Did he mean merely to keep the law or to keep everything it foretold? And I quoted James 2 and verse 10 again, where we read now. Okay? You have to do everything. Everything the word has said, do it. We are saying today, by his tribe we are healed in Isaiah. Why are you still depending on Isaiah? Why is he the one who is trying to heal you? Even though 1 Peter 2 verse 24 said it. But it was quoted from Isaiah too. There are many things I was saying that were quoted from the Old Testament. Jesus was even speaking. He said, as said by Isaiah, as said by Jeremy, which is Jeremiah. They were quoting this. They never, he said, I didn't come to abolish the law. The only law just coming to abolish for you is the law of sin and death. To give you grace to stand well and stand right. Deliver you from the influence of the power of darkness. Power that don't allow men to do well. What they call generational curses, family curses. You are delivered from it. You are no more under those bodies. because the burden has been lifted up. Glory be to God. The last question. Did Jesus fulfill all the laws demanded? He said, if yes, how? And if no, how? I don't have an answer for you that yes, he did. Because the Bible says there was no gold found in his mouth. He was a sinless man. Nobody could raise any accusation against him, fulfill all the law. On the 8th day he was circumcised, the prayer helped him to fulfill the law. Circumcision is not in the New Testament. Is it in the New Testament? Where is it? Why is circumcising your son? Why not leave a man the car and they go walk like that and see who will marry him? But we did it because that's what the Bible said we should do. No, people just look for something to escape from something. Forget, be careful. Be a plain man, a straightforward human being. And so hiding under deceit. Those praising grace have sent their wife out of the house. Today they are unmarried, but they were married before. Where is the grace? Grace that cannot cover forgiveness? Or make a man tolerate his wife and they live together? It got to a point that the wife had to pack out of the house. Where the grace? Even a man going to put in grace for me, wouldn't I ask him a question? But the one you are advertising around, you didn't ask a question. Sometimes I think they suspended our listening without following them. You see, hypnotized now. I don't know what to call it. Let's be very careful with it. He did everything. He didn't break any law. If you know any law where he break, let us know. There was no proof that he broke any law in the Bible. There was no proof. And what he came to do here on earth was to die for our sin, which he did. And God raised him up from the dead. Fulfill his mission on earth. May everyone here fulfill their mission on earth. If we believe, you say amen. Amen. If we believe, you say amen. Amen. Then shortly, I will speak on what something I want to. Hosea, that's the message now. Hosea 4 and verse 6. Hosea 4 and verse 6. Very smart. I will soon close because of time. Hosea 4 and verse 6. Say, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. That you shall be no priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget your children. What did concern children there? I will tell you the power of knowledge. You can't have freedom on earth until you have knowledge. The key to freedom is knowledge. The key to knowledge is truth. The key to truth is the word of God. John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them by thy truth. Your word is what? Your word is truth. You can't be free on earth if you don't have the knowledge of the word of God. There's no freedom. Many are under all kinds of bondage, all kinds of traps, because they forsake knowledge. And God is not pleased with it. The greatest enemy of man is not sin, it's not death, it's not Satan. It is ignorance. Because this ignorance has caused people more destruction than what any devil has caused or anything else has caused. Many of us say, who claim to be under grace? We will be sleeping with strange men and strange women. I can't even, there's no even discrimination, anything you see. Sleep with adults, sleep with baby. Because you don't know the consequence of what you are doing. That is ignorance. To you, you are enjoying your life. They are giving you money. Go and ask men who have seen money, real money. You know that what they're giving you is poison. The consequence of lack of knowledge is terrible. Ignorance of the word, Hosea 4 and verse 6. Ignorance made God to reject even their children. You know why? Just watch me here. Why God reject their children? If you that know nothing, teach your child what you know, how will your child be? You'll be as smart as you are. If you that know nothing, teach your children what you know, the level of what you know, what you teach them, how will their life be? There are children I have seen in this church who are not brought up here, but they came to join us at the later age of their life. That I weep for their parents. They have contributed almost nothing but destruction to them. Give assistance for them. Defend them where they ought to give a slap and encouragement. They defend the foolishness. Ignorance. If you don't know much or you don't know anything and you teach your child what you know, how, ask yourself, how will my child be? That's why every one of us must run after knowledge. It is ignorant that makes you to celebrate somebody's fall. Say, hey, you are falling. Your mother, you are talking as if you have never seen before. Your own is coming. You don't know broom. Have you ever seen broom before? Eh, madam, you don't see broom before? You have broom in your house? You just and sweep your house. When you finish, you keep it on your bed, on your dining table. You keep it on your chair. Where do you keep the broom? At the corner. They will soon throw you away. Men who are used as broom, I've never looked for evidence against anybody in my life. See me here. My two hands are up. I will never do it. There's nothing I will know about you and to somebody else. It's a principle I have built inside me. Because I know that whoever they use to bring an evidence to destroy somebody, that person very soon will be left in the corner, forgotten, in the dark. You don't keep your broom in your parlor. You open your door and put it at the back of the door and do what? And close and leave it there. That's the end. It's ignorant that people make people to be looking for who to destroy. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And you want to do ask yourself, how holy are you? All that a man will ever know is what he learned. If you don't learn it, you can never know it. So you have to be intentional in seeking for knowledge. So you may have large libraries in your house or your office or anywhere. The book you have never opened, you can never know it. What is inside? So it can't give you knowledge. The book you have never opened cannot impact your life positively because you don't know what is inside until you open it. The key to freedom is knowledge. The key to knowledge is the truth. The key to truth is the word of God. You can't abandon God's word and be claiming you are free. You are not free, sir. You are not free, ma'am. Just like buying information. What is information? You buy book. Abi? Huh? You want to buy what? When you want to buy book, does it equal to revelation that is inside the book? No. To buy information is not or does not equal revelation. And revelation is what gives you the knowledge. It will change your life. Show you where to go. Show you what to do and what not to do. It's revelation. But this is in the book you buy. But you never open the book and read. And knowledge is available. It's not scarce. Because if it is scarce, God will not say you reject it. You can't reject what is not available. Is it possible? Is it because you have rejected knowledge? That means knowledge is available. We are no one not seeking for it, not running after it, not hungry for it. It's available. Hosea 4 verse 6. He said, because you have rejected knowledge. That means it's available. Because no man rejects what he does not have. Or it's not available to him. But we run after lies. Those people tell us lies on social media. And make life comfortable. Christianity does not put us again on our toes. But make us to sleep and relax. You will not go and look for fire brand messages that will stir up your heart and tell you the electric that will not leave my house until I find God. But those who pamper your emotions and tell you all what you want to hear, that is what you are wasting your data on. Grace, grace, grace. I'm not against grace. God, grace saved me through faith. But understand that grace put on me a responsibility to be a responsible person as a Christian. A responsible child of God. Not a floating type. I don't come to church late. Not because I'm a pastor. I told you when I got born again. Around 40 years ago. So people choose to believe what they want to believe or what is convenient for them, but that will not give you freedom. Never. So ignorance is so powerful that you think that you are doing what is right. But many are poor today, not because there's no resources to make them rich, but because ignorance has closed their eyes to it. So what you believe will become the reality of your life very soon. Become the reality, the reflection, the evidence, everything. Your belief will soon manifest. It may take time. It may take time. Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in what? In all wisdom. Don't have the word of God in all foolishness. Have it in all wisdom. What the Bible says. Let it dwell in you in all wisdom. People know the word, but they don't know the word in all wisdom. They know in a way that cannot help them. It won't promote them. It won't lift them up. It will make a change in their life. Don't let your own be like that. God bless you. Say, God bless you. Knowledge will give you freedom. Run after knowledge. Can we please rise up?